Welcome to the Geek Psychology Podcast. This podcast comes from the Geek Psychology YouTube channel, where we use personality type and geek and gaming culture to help you play life better. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being you. And I hope you enjoy the show.
Boo.
Ooh.
It is unloved. Like me.
Hey, what's up? We're going to do something a bit different in this video. I'm going to go through Decode Your Personality, Go Beyond Myers-Briggs with 64 Brain-Based Subtypes by Dario Nardi, and I'm going to give you my reaction as I read through the description of introverted feeling. I'm an INFP. My dominant function is introverted feeling, and we're going to read it together, all right?
It's also...
Yeah, to Matt from Dario Nardi. So here we go. Introverted feeling. Introverted feeling FI has two sides, analytic and holistic, aka yang and yin. This duality helps resolve a paradox among FI users. It's as if there's one set of FI users who have strong likes and dislikes, and who seem to really know themselves and focus on being congruent with that knowing. Then, in contrast, there's a second set of FI users who come off as wishy-washy, as if they're continuously trying new avenues, and they have a vague or multifaceted sense of identity. These two sides may actually appear in the same person over years or days. Both flavors are part of the FI experience. I shouldn't have ran up the stairs before reading this. Within me, I definitely feel that I have both aspects of this, and I think when I was younger, and even in many domains of my life, I definitely had the more wishy-washy aspect where I'm trying new things, experimenting, trying to understand more, you know, of this multifaceted self-identity. And in some areas, though, I know. Now I know. Like, when it's around my purpose and what I want to do with my life, I know. And it was not like that. Like, when I moved to Japan when I was 18, I was scared out of my mind. I did not know that I wanted to go to Japan. I just knew that I needed to, like, learn more about myself. And I needed to get out of Michigan. I needed to get out of my basement, my mom's basement. No offense, Mom, I love you, but that was not where I needed to be. And I needed to see if I could learn to exist on my own, you know, and fend for myself. Unfortunately, everybody else still supported me. Not unfortunately. It's nice to have good people around that do stuff for you. But I kind of lean into that when it's available. But as I said, when I'm decided about it, I'm decided about it. There's no wishy-washiness. It's just like, I'm going to do it until I achieve the goal. And hopefully I can bring in extroverted thinking and actually manage tasks and resources along the way too and get it done. Okay. Analytic Yang FI, the Questor. I call analytic Yang FI the Questor because they're pursuing a particular singular life quest or truth, and their choices and habits are organized around that. So that's pretty much what I was just explaining. Think of a missionary who has a very clear aim and set of values and beliefs. This FI user can very much come off as, and even score as, a thinking type, with firm, complex ideas because they're applying analytical skills to further their moral clarity. To understand and thoroughly sort out their belief system, actions, and feelings with an aim to get everything congruent. Until people get to know me, I think, maybe I come off as a thinker in some ways. Even some other personality typing services will call me an ISTP. It's something that I intentionally don't bring out. I don't bring out, like, my emotions and be, like, sensitive in most areas of my life because I guess I've learned that it's not accepted, but also I've learned that I can just deal with it myself, so I can keep that stuff to myself and figure it out for the most part. Sometimes it's nice to have support, of course. But when it really comes down to it, I don't do thinking in that sense. There's a lot of wishy-washiness and trying to figure out things based off how I feel about it, not about the logical application of it or the objectives or measurements or the actual concise specific definition. It's like, well, even if I have that, if I don't care, then I don't care and there's nothing I can do about it. This Yang FI user constantly asks, are my actions, beliefs, feelings, relationships, habits, and so on all consistent, regardless of what kind of situation I'm in? Ooh, I feel that one. That one's been very important to me, maintaining internal consistency. And a lot of that comes through parts work as well, and knowing that there are all these different parts of myself, and having the part that's responsible for my beliefs, or the part that's responsible in raising my daughter, or in my relationship with my wife, or in teaching like this, having all of those aligned and going in the same direction has been really important to me. When I was younger, I didn't know any of that stuff. I didn't know. Well, I knew I was misaligned because it felt strange. Like, I don't know what's going on. But once I started learning more and researching more and I stopped playing games as much, unfortunately, I spent more time studying. And now, like, I study several hours a day and I've been doing this for like 10 years. So it's been really important to me. And I've learned a lot of good mental models, and that's one that I have learned along the way. In every circumstance, these people are pretty much the same with predictable beliefs and expressions pursuing their quest. I try to be consistent. They have a consistent personal identity. Hopefully, they're also inevitably listening to some kind of conscience. Yeah, I spend a lot of time listening to my conscience. My ISFP aunt said that she is the conscience that nobody else wants to have. As in, she always has to do what is accurate or not accurate, aligned with her conscience. It also says there may be an external reference, like a holy book or a guru, but it comes back to an internal belief system and a conscience, and they're following that as best as they can. Yeah. I've been in a lot of situations just based off my life and career choices and working at a bar and all these different things where I've been put in situations that conflict against my conscience and my values. And reconciling that has been very difficult. But I also know that it's, as long as it's not completely overboard, it's really important to try it and see how it kinesthetically feels. Like, now I have a felt sense of knowing that that specific thing is misaligned with me and I don't want to do it, or I will not do it. Whereas it's not a theoretical understanding, which is good, but it's not always the most in-depth understanding of yourself. Now, keep in mind, we are all messy, organic human beings, and we don't have platonic moral perfection, as much as I would love to. So this person has to somehow contain their sin. Ooh. The person is often dealing with their failings, grappling with how to contain their mistakes and misalignments. Yeah, I constantly go back into past mistakes, things that I did that were misaligned with me as a person, or my identity that I see myself as or want to see myself as. And even if it happened, you know, 15 years ago, I still go over it. I still think about it. Sure, I've done work on it, so there's not the emotional connection to it. There's no, like, emotional baggage. Well, maybe there's some. But it's a more, like, learning, understanding, and reflecting over it, and wondering, like, okay, if I've done that, then what else am I capable of doing? In a negative way, usually, and making sure that I am aligned in a way that doesn't allow that to happen. So I need more of my parts. I need all of myself going in the same direction. If I got one, like, rabble rouser, I don't know if that's the, I got one rebel, let's call it, that's going the other direction. I need to make sure that that character is on the team and knows, like, that all my parts know that that is or is not accepted. If you're not an INFP and you're listening to this, you're like, what is this dude talking about? By now, you might get the impression that analytic FI is always ideological in nature, but that isn't necessarily so. It's simply a drive, a focus on congruence, and it's active toward a singular quest. I definitely have a singular quest now. The quest could be religious or political, or it could be artistic, athletic, or for business or such. Think of an ISFP who is utterly devoted to a singular practice, music. He or she will say, it is all about the music, even though fame, fun, money, and travel are a part of the experience too. They believe, maybe fear, that their music will be fake and they will fail if they are not dedicated to a raw honesty. I'm sure there's a lot to unpack with that one. With my pursuits within geek psychology and coaching and everything like that, there is a bit of a fear, maybe, that if I'm not fully committed to it, then I'll lose it or it'll go away or somebody else will take it. It's kind of weird. And my whole life outside of family stuff is devoted to this. Like, I spent so much time thinking and creating up ideas and not as much time acting on it and actually putting it into practice, unfortunately, in terms of, like, you know, business stuff, business creation. But I am completely surrounded by this at all times, and I love it. Love it, love it, love it. Overall, Yang FI can come off as highly dedicated, with a firm voice, and fairly black and white, and even judgmental. Even as these folks are actually capable of a lot of analytical complexity. I'm judgmental. I try not to be, but I notice my inner thoughts are like, oh, you're judging again. Stop judging. Be nice. And then I am. I'm like, oh yeah, they're a person too. Everybody makes mistakes. But right off the start, if it's like somebody doing something that I feel is inconsiderate to other people, I'll be pretty judgmental on their identity as a human. Man, that is cruel. Cold-blooded. Holistic Yin FI, the romantic. The romantic FI user. This person is particularly existential. He or she lives a life of deep and quiet feeling, full of little leaps and small stories or moving moments, each with its own beauty or sorrow, and nothing is forced. Ideally, everything flows. Oh man, that sounds so nice. That sounds like more of like the meme that people see of INFPs, of like stories and beauty and sorrow and ups and downs and emotions. I think it's cool. That's cool. I definitely need to add more of that into my life. More story, which is what I'm doing. I am adding more stories. Good. More creativity. With holistic FI, there are many voices and many feelings that come up every day, many times a day. And rather than trying to push those to align, this person says, I'm just going to be with all of these. And whatever emerges from this, from that is what emerges. And that is who I am. So there are no big decisions about identity. Rather, I am the result of all of my processes going on. Ah, oh, that's interesting. The ability to just let it be. Let it be, let it be. I think that's really cool. Instead of approaching it as, this is our goal. Team, get on board. Like, here we go. Everybody on the pirate ship of my psyche. Let's go. You're the crew. Follow orders, in a sense. Like, of course, work together, but, you know, having everybody going along the same path, I think, is my approach. And seeing this as like, well, this is who I am. It's all who I am, and that's okay. And we can conflict. We can have inner disharmony in many ways. And that is okay too. I do see myself as also the result of all of my processes going on. But I believe there's like a meta self process or part of myself that is in charge and trying to wrangle all these cats as they're running around, all different emotional cats. I just imagine like happy cats and sad cats and I'm not going to say the other ones. Many times this person has multiple soft quests and subtly diverse identities, even within one relationship. Every interaction brings out the so and so part of them. So the person is open to connect with whatever comes up and express it in some way. Doing so then evokes a new set of feelings and maybe energizes a goal in this or that direction. When it comes up, embrace it. I think that's a beautiful lesson. And there is yet another relationship that brings out different feelings, and they make room for those too. So there's room for inconsistencies on the outside and on the inside, and they let everything mix around. And that is their identity. You can ask them something like, what do you believe, or who are you? Probably the best they can do is tell you a story or joke or invite you on a little adventure with them, because there is no one thing that they can point to. No one word or idea or system. Indeed, they are non-extremists. So with me, as I was talking before, like, in most areas of my life, I feel a lot more wishy-washy. In relationships, unless... So what I've learned, okay, is that if I've experienced it, because I've intentionally put myself into these strange situations, then I have more of the ability to make a quicker, decisive judgment or decision. If I haven't actually experienced it, it's harder for me to do that. Of course, I can do it, but like it'll take longer. So in a simple analogy, it's like with coffee. There's a specific coffee that I like. And I know that I like it because I tried it. And I don't know all the other coffees. So instead of trying all those other coffees, which sometimes I do, but usually I'm just like, well, I'll drink the one that I like because I know that I like this. I've already made a decision around that, and I just default to that. Sometimes I feel like NE, my extroverted intuition, the innovating explorer part of my psyche, would like jump out and be like, no, let's do this one. And I'm like, okay. I just kind of get pulled along the way. Alas, this FI user can be a bit wishy-washy. They behave one way for a while in a relationship or on the job, and then all of a sudden they move in a different direction and say, now I just feel differently, or I love it and yet I also hate it. I can see me saying the second one a lot more than the first one. I love it and yet I also hate it. Like the conflicts within ourselves. Also, they often feel they have quite a hard time being heard. That is a huge one for INFPs. And I get a feeling like many INFPs that are like talking more on the internet or in the Discord channel are this holistic yin FI, the romantic type. Like that quite a hard time being heard is a big one. I feel that too within my life, within my relationships, that I'm not as understood and heard as I would like to be. And this has always been there. But I think I've learned to just be like, well, I'm not communicating it properly. Maybe it's not that big of a deal. If it is, then I need to spend more time and effort and energy finding out how to communicate it, which metaphors or analogies or explanations actually work better to communicate them. I'm not as like upset about it anymore. I don't know. It is frustrating though. It actually, you know, and it happens like probably every day, but it doesn't last as long. I don't know. Maybe I do it a lot. Sorting flavors of FI. To sum up, there are yang and yin versions of FI. The analytic yang version is more righteous and it recruits the brain's willpower to be focused and aligned. In contrast, the holistic yin version is receptive, diffuse, and yielding. It is not one character, but many different characters, and it's not just an ocean, but many places, and many feelings, and many relationships. It's like he knew my metaphors that I would use. I mean, I've been talking about parts and characters and pirate ships, all this stuff. I am very yielding in many areas, though my wife does call me stubborn.
It's about certain things.
We can see the difference in storytelling. The Yin Fi user can be a fine novelist where every character can be their own unique person, including being evil. This holistic Fi does not have so much of a problem with evil, conceptually speaking. They may even say, well, what exactly is evil anyway? Let's explore that. Whereas the quester, the analytic Fi user, is going to have a harder time at this task. If you ask them to write a short story, they really want the characters to only do things that they feel are exemplary. Or if a character breaks bad, it's to serve a narrative purpose, as in, see what happens when you're like this. I appreciate flaws in characters and in people, and in the sense of like, well, yeah, we all have a bit of evil inside, little evil sprinkle. There are things that we do that are not the nicest things. And that's, I mean, it's not okay, but it's life. It's people. That's what people do, right? I think if we were to be so rigid that we never get into any negative aspects of life or of ourselves or exploring dark emotions, then that cuts out like half of life. I don't know why I laughed when I said that. By the way, remember that everyone uses Fi in some way. For people who don't prefer Fi, it can come up as a deeply entrenched belief system or quest. Consider an ESTJ who has a strong religious faith that never wavers. Yeah, I know them. Always, at the end of the day, amid all of their efficient decisions, everything for them needs to align morally. And because they have a baby Fi, this will easily come off as dogmatic, unrealistic, judgmental, and perhaps bullying. I hear that a lot from INFPs in the comments of ESTJs being bullies. They can. One of my best friends is an ESTJ, and like at the start when we first met 21 years ago now, when I was 18, we did not like each other. Like, he did come over and we played Smash Brothers and stuff together with an ENFP friend who are already, those two are already friends. But like when we were kind of living together and stuff at the start, it was rough. There were a lot of conflicts and like this bubbling anger inside. But eventually, I mean, we moved on to working and living together for several years in different places in Japan, in Korea as well. And like, I would never see him as a bully now. I see him as someone who has strong decision-making capability and is able to express that and make it happen. But he's also really sensitive. In contrast, another ESTJ who has Yin Fi can be notably diplomatic. We might even wonder if ESTJ is a best fit type. Maybe they're ISTJ or a feeling type. No. Their use of Fi is simply more quiet and is about a sustainable, subtle, sophisticated harmony. This ESTJ can make a good diplomat, for example, because he or she can easily remain objective and also allow for differences. He or she can be objectively effective, even if that means staying friendly with their nation's enemies. That took a big leap. On the minus side, a baby Yin Fi can also end up morally compromised. Yeah, that makes sense. Morally compromised as a baby Yin Fi. Not really knowing, kind of being wishy-washy, unsure of how it feels, how it affects your identity, your soul. And I call introverted feeling the resonating soul. And I feel that it is really tied to that. And if that is not clearly defined, it's hard to know when you're overstepping boundaries within yourself and outside of yourself. It's a funny thing that Fi, similar to NI, is about opposites. For NI, thesis and antithesis can lead to synthesis. And that came up in something I was listening to recently, too. Good. I love it. For FI, yin and yang, as in the Taoist religious symbol, are wrapped up in each other, and each contains an element of the other. So for the FI user, the idea of analytic and holistic can easily make sense, though that doesn't necessarily make balancing them any easier. Yes, I love it. I love the idea that, like, we are conflicted, because I love parts work so much, that we have these different aspects of ourselves, and they have different, they're mini personalities. And they have different goals and drives, and actually through research, different parts of yourself, like when you show up to do a task, you activate, you log on to a specific part of yourself that is neural wiring to do that part, okay? And this is not fringe science, this is actually like researched stuff. And so, like, for example, the me that is presenting this is an activated bundle of neural pathways. And they can have different allergies. They can have different eyesight, different memories. It's amazing. And you can deal with a lot of that stuff through self-hypnosis or hypnosis from somebody else or with somebody else. And I just find it so amazing that we have actually all these different parts. And it's not dissociative identity disorder. This is natural. Like the you that gets ready to go outside is likely not the same part that's activated when you get in your car and you drive to wherever you're going, you drive to work. Because by the time you get to work and you get to the door, you're like, how did I even get here? Like, I wasn't paying attention at all. Well, there was a different part that was activated. Or the you that, like, I'm hungry. You go downstairs and you get to the kitchen, you open up the fridge, you're like, what was I going to do? Why am I here right now? Now, it's different if you stand in front of the fridge for like 5 hours and you have no recollection of it. That's a completely different thing. You should get that checked out, probably. I'm not a doctor, so I can't say it, but that's what I would do. And the chapter ends like this. What now? Now that you've explored the yin and yang of type, where are you the most yang and the most yin in your life, whether favorite processes or not? Number two, who might you be idolizing or demonizing based on their type expression? Number three, how might you diversify your use of your favorite processes for more balance and success in life? I'd be curious what you guys have to answer about those three questions. Now, I'm doing this also for me because I want to really grok yin and yang of personality type and this analytic and holistic variance, because I think it is really helpful and it does give flavor and nuance to a lot of personality type and the questions that come up for a lot of people when they're like, this doesn't feel like my type. It's not really covering these specific different aspects of myself. Or I tested out as INFP, but I'm not really like everybody else. It gives a lot of clarity to that. Personally, I am hesitant about, you know, going into 64 different types because I feel that a lot of the importance comes from the first 20% of the understanding. Then you get 80% of the bang for your buck. But it is helpful to know, and especially as someone in my position who likes to talk about this stuff all day, every day. And since you've gotten this far, you're probably curious about your personality type. You want to know more about it. And I have a couple different options for you as an INFP. If you're an INFP, go to infp.geekpsychology.com. You can pick up the INFP Masterclass, which goes into many different cognitive functions within your function stack, the first four. And you get to learn tips and strategies and techniques and mindsets that help you achieve a life of happiness sooner and get away from those stresses and struggles that we really deal with a lot, like goal setting, cleaning up the past, embracing and loving our intuition, and setting goals and making decisions based off our values, what is really important to us, and defining those. So I teach you how to do all that within the INFP Masterclass. If you're not an INFP, or you're more curious about this framework of different parts of yourself, different characters within your psyche's questing party, then get the Path of Heroes Academy, poha.geekpsychology.com. We create 8 different characters, and you learn a bunch of strategies and techniques, and you go on real life missions to improve your development in these different aspects of your life so that you're not as fractured, so that you're more aligned and holistic, and you have an endless ability for problem solving and self-discovery. So those are 2 options for you. You can go to geekpsychology.com and just write me in the chat window. Hopefully I'll see it, or email me, Sherman@geekpsychology.com, if you have any questions about that. All right. Good luck. Have fun. Oh, you want to know more about the brain type for introverted feeling? Check this video out over here. Wow, 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 wow. Peace. Thanks for listening, and I hope you got something out of it. I know that by listening to this podcast, it means that you're ready to take your life to the next level, and I'm so excited to help you do it. Whether you're struggling with anxiety, lack of motivation, or you're just looking for your spark and purpose, I have many courses and a one-on-one coaching service available to you to help you get out of your own way and be happy. So head on over to geekpsychology.com to get started. See you there.